Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I cannot tell you how excited I am about that Cardinals victory today.
Good.
Because something very unusual happened, and I was just following from afar as I was doing a radio show, but I was noticing what was happening. And Kyle Gibson had a great performance. Our former ace, Jack Flaherty, pitches for the Tigers. He had a career-high 14 strikeouts. He had a lights-out performance. It was 1-0 in the eighth. Kyle Gibson loaded the bases. But you know where a manager usually comes in? Think of Mike Maddox when he was the pitching coach. Mike Maddox would come in, he'd rub the shoulders. Uh-huh. Sometimes he'd have to do a two-shoulder rub. That's when you knew it was serious. And maybe they'd yank the starting pitcher, and then they'd put, you know, Polente in, and he'd blow the game. He's got shipped down to the minors. But my point is, for whatever reason, Ali Marmol today just stuck with Kyle Gibson.
And it worked.
And it worked, and he got out of it, and they somehow scored in the ninth inning, and the Cardinals win that game. So I think that that is awesome. And they have another game tonight because it's a doubleheader. Sue, I have to, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I have a bit of a concert to go to tonight. Have I told you about that at all?
No.
Well, I'm not seeing Queen.
You're seeing Queen?
I am seeing the third grade strings orchestra at Stanton Elementary perform We Will Rock You on their violins.
This is awesome.
Actually, not them, but this is something I pulled from the YouTube out there of a bunch of sixth graders.
This is great.
My daughter's been taking, you know, she's very musically focused. She's been taking violin this year. That's what they do. They kind of introduce you to musical instruments that way.
Oh, I love that.
So she's very excited about the concert. I have to make sure.
Oh, yay.
Here's your role in all of
this.
You have a very important role. You damn well better clear I-44 to the west for me at 6 o'clock. Because if I'm late for this thing.
Because I have that power.
I know you do.
I will do what I can.
I'm not asking you to do something that I didn't think you were capable of, Sue.
Oh, man. Now I'm nervous.
I'd be in trouble. They'll have to delay. Believe me, they know to delay the concert if I'm not there.
I'm
covered. Ann Wagner coming up in just a bit from our second district here. But right now, Jonathan Martin, Politico's senior columnist. We're going to talk a little politics, maybe some baseball with Jonathan Martin as well. We went to a game last year at Busch Stadium. J-Mart, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling pretty good after that Cardinals victory. As you probably know, it's been a little bit of a rough start here in St. Louis, piggybacking on our terrible year in 23.
Oh, man. You guys live and die with the Cardinals. I love it. It's not even May yet. You already got
freaked out.
Your ulcer is coming. I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Well, let's talk about Mike Johnson. You wrote about Mike Johnson. I'm going to ask Ann Wagner some questions about Mike Johnson. And I thought this was an interesting line, and you're the guy that's going to explain how this happened, because I think people are curious. It may seem hard to square the congressman who only in September opposed $300 million in Ukraine aid with the one who put his career on the line to deliver $61 billion to Ukraine. So how, in simplified fashion, Jonathan Martin, because you wrote extensively about this, how did that happen?
The short answer is intelligence briefings and the burden of leadership. He got a different level of intelligence than he did as a rank and file member. And he knows Ukraine's running out of munitions and they could lose the war and the Russians could occupy a massive country on the continent of Europe. And I think he didn't want to have that burden on his shoulders of Ukraine failing, because he is the only member of the U.S. government, you know, White House, House and Senate, who was opposed. It wouldn't bring up the bill. And then lastly, I would just say real fast, too, there's something called a discharge petition, which Ian Wagner can explain better than I can. But basically, if Johnson had not brought up the bill, enough Republicans in the House would have signed that with Democrats and forced a vote on the House floor. This way, Johnson got something out of it. He separated the votes on Israel and Taiwan. He added the TikTok ban. And he actually, at the end of the day, was able to sort of salvage a win for a lot of folks in the House.
But you know that there are a lot of people that are pointing this as, look, I had Sean Spicer on last week, and he was livid about this because he feels like Johnson, and I have some questions myself. I was very concerned, had nothing personally against Mike Johnson, but two areas of concern picking him as Speaker. The inexperience to manage big pieces of legislation, maybe case in point, and also the inexperience with fundraising, two separate issues, but going out and helping Republicans, in my view, secure the House is important. But he doesn't have experience in that area. So when it comes to that criticism, how would you respond, or how would members on the Hill respond to that?
Well, critique is a fair one. He does not have relationships with donors. He's not a proven fundraiser. This is all new for him. And, you know, he's going to have to get a lot of help to raise money. That's going to be a challenge. I think on carrying big pieces of legislation, I think the last couple of months, he has effectively answered that question. Look, he pushed through spending bills to keep the government open the rest of this year. He was able to finally get FISA reauthorized, which is legislation that basically authorizes spying. And then obviously he gets these big infusions of money for our allies and throws in a ban of TikTok, all in pretty short order this calendar year. So look, I think he's already a more consequential speaker based on that agenda than Kevin McCarthy was in the 9 months that Kevin was speaker.
I love this line. This is maybe a classic Jonathan Martin line from the piece about Mike Johnson. He's a Republican of the Red Dawn generation. I like that. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's born in 1972, and your listeners out there who are also children of the 80s or perhaps early 90s will identify with that. Look, I think Trump has reshaped the Republican Party. I think the Iraq War has reshaped the Republican Party. It's made it a more kind of inward-looking isolationist party. But there's still the DNA of Ronald Reagan. It's in a lot of Republicans, especially those over the age of 45. And I think that wanting to project American strength abroad, wanting to engage in the world, that DNA is still there. You got to look for it sometimes. But I think with Mike Johnson, when push came to shove, he proved he was ultimately a Reagan guy.
So my very simplified position on Ukraine at this point, just being a guy that flaps his lips on the radio, is I'm concerned that this is not a winnable situation. Maybe it would benefit me, and maybe it would benefit a lot of people to sit an hour in a skiff getting briefed and find out the real information. I wouldn't deny that. But in lieu of that, I don't think that, you know, the messaging on Ukraine has been effectively communicated to Republican voters who are concerned. I mean, I've jokingly referred to myself as an isolationist because apparently I am now. But I'm just genuinely concerned about throwing good money after bad at this point.
Yeah, look, I think the Europeans haven't done a good enough job. American leaders in both parties haven't done a good enough job. I think that's a huge part of the challenge, is there's not been public salesmanship for why we ought to be spending billions of dollars to invest in Ukraine. You're totally right. I think it's been malpractice to not make the case of why we should be there. And to me, the case is pretty straightforward. It's not in our, you know, personal American self-interest to have Russia occupy a country along the border of NATO and be tempted to menace countries on Ukraine's border that aren't NATO countries, that would change everything in our calculation. I think that's a raw calculation of self-interest, that we just don't want the Russians occupying Ukraine. But I think you're right that's not been made effectively to a lot of folks in this country.
Yeah. Politico senior columnist Jonathan Martin is here. What is Mike Johnson's emerging, developing relationship with Donald Trump? What do we know about that?
They're talking a lot more on the phone, I'm told, like almost every day. I think Johnson's visit a couple of weeks ago to Mar-a-Lago played a critical role and keeping Trump on the sidelines and not coming out against the Ukraine funding bill. I know for a fact that Johnson made a case to Trump, speaking of self-interest, it was in Trump's self-interest to let this aid go through, because Johnson told Trump, if you're president on January 20th next year, 9 months from now, you don't want to take office to a mess in Europe where you've got Ukraine occupied by Russian troops, because you would come on day one into a massive crisis in Europe, and you don't want that. I think Trump found that to be resonant.
Yeah.
David Cameron, the foreign minister, the former prime minister of the United Kingdom, also told Trump, look, you know, Putin's not going to stop, and Ukraine's going to occupy the country and have broader ambitions. You don't want that happening on your watch next year. I think that played well with Trump.
Jonathan Martin, always great to have you on. Though we have to go to the mailbag here for one question here, submitted by our mutual friend, Foreign State Senator Jeff Smith. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, boy.
Ask him why his favorite barbecue in the country is not St. Louis barbecue. I think that's a very important question. Be very careful here. How would you answer that?
On me. Well, what Jeff didn't say, which is even more damning, is I actually prefer KC barbecue over St. Louis barbecue. I know. I'm never going to have lunch in St. Louis again.
Well, here's what I would say is that I used to go to Kansas City, Missouri quite a bit back in the day. This is when I was living in Columbia. You know, I loved about living in Columbia, Missouri, and this is just being honest, is it was close to Kansas City, the Lake of the Ozarks, and St. Louis. So I was a big fan of Gates and Sons and some of the other Kansas City barbecue. And it's interesting, my perspective, so I come back in 2006 from Milwaukee, not knowing that St. Louis is sort of a developing haven for barbecue. But we've done pretty well here, I will say that.
All right, man. I am open to persuasion. So next time I'm there, show me the best of St. Louis barbecue.
We'll do it, Jonathan Martin. Thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Thanks,
I appreciate
man.
It. All right, take care. That's Jeff Smith, though. Always going negative. You know how he is.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'd be very curious, and we're going to have Ann Wagner come on and talk about some of this. But I think my criticism, and I was trying to point toward this in the interview, is the Republicans do a terrible job at messaging. Maybe the Democrats do as well, but they seem to get their folks on board. I just think that Republican voters, people who pay attention, need to have better answers for why we're in Ukraine, need to have better answers for why we're spending so much money in other areas.
I mean, it's true.
And they don't communicate the messaging very well. And this goes back, by the way, I would take this all the way back to 2008 when Obama comes in with Obamacare and the Republicans are throwing the red flags. You got two things that are working against you. One, you're not in control. Two, the media is with the party in control because they're always going to be with the Democrats. So in order to effectively communicate a message, I think you have to go, unfortunately, that much farther in your explanations. I don't know what the solution is, Sue. I've been frustrated on this issue for decades. Because I feel, and I this gets into the weeds, but I guess I can use the entitlement programs as an example. Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, of course, as well. But Medicare and Social Security in particular, those two programs are unsustainable. The Republicans won't talk about it because they don't want the political risk of someone creating an ad during a primary that says you're going to throw granny off the cliff. But these are important issues that we should have conversations with. I'd like to see our two presidential candidates get into some more of these serious issues. Do you think that's going to happen?
No.
No, of course not, because it gets too complicated. People would rather hear about simplified, scenarios
it's
and
true.
Situations. And I'll be honest, it's a lot easier to get your arms around something that's happening at the border where millions of people are coming through, or real-life example, what's going on right now across college campuses. I'm stunned, and one of the stories that's getting probably more attention than anything else that I've tweeted in the last week, Sue, is about Northwestern University. As I started with this afternoon.
It's appalling.
It is appalling. So essentially, Northwestern National Review is reporting on this. They negotiated at Northwestern University with the encampment organizers, and they basically gave them what they wanted. They announced, and they put this in a statement, and they proudly announced that they have given them concessions, including full-ride scholarships for Palestinian students and
it's
positions
ridiculous.
For Palestinian faculty at Northwestern University. That's what they got. So the student, how could you not, if you're a student at Columbia, Yale, Mizzou, I don't care where you are, and you see what's happening, you see the pattern. Now, we do have the University of Texas, and I must give credit once again to Washington University, but these students are pretty much getting what they want, which is exactly why they're barricading themselves behind closed doors at Columbia and elsewhere. Congressman Wagner is coming up.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner is standing by. She joins us back from Italy, by the way, so we'll find out about that. We have Tulsi Gabbard on the show tomorrow. She used to be a Democratic candidate for president, but she has transitioned. Not in that sense. No, get your mind out of the gutter there. She's now more conservative, and she's written a book about this, and she's going to join us at 5:07 tomorrow night here on 97.1 FM Talk. Also on the show tomorrow, Daniel Turner, who is always great on some of the energy issues. He's the CEO of Power of the Future. We're going to talk about these new EPA mandates that came down last week on coal, which should be of some interest here in Missouri, and it's quite troubling. So Daniel will be with us tomorrow afternoon. Right now, I mentioned Ann back with us, Congresswoman Wagner. It's been just a little bit. I mentioned the Italy trip. We'll talk about a few other things as well. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, except for it's like 95 degrees in Washington, D.C. I did not get the memo, and it's hot here, both on the floor of the U.S. House and outside. So.
Wait, really? It's that warm? You know, we have around 80 here today, but yeah, that seems unseasonably warm for this time of year for sure.
Agree. But I'm doing well. A lot going on.
Well, before I get, I know you just got back from Italy. I'll get to that here in a second. What's going on in the moment? Let's kind of get caught up. What's going on in Congress right now? And then I'll kind of work backwards from some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, obviously, what's you know, at the top of mind, I think, for everyone are these horrible anti-Semitic protests that we are seeing across our country at college universities and campuses. Everywhere, and the fact that President Biden won't even come out and publicly, in his own name, condemn these protests, the defacing of property, the chants that are threatening and anti-Semitic and calls to violence and the encampments and you name it. I mean, he has not once come out. So we are going to be putting a piece of legislation on the floor tomorrow. We just passed the rule on it, H.R. 6090, an Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. And this is really going to kind of update the definition of anti-Semitism for the purposes of the Department of Education's investigations and under the Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. And honestly, it's something that in 2019, the Trump administration issued an executive order saying that the Department of Education could adopt a definition that is put out by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, and then they could prohibit universities from receiving federal funding if they allow anti-Semitic hate on their campuses. So, you know, they've got a definition, this International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, that's very credible, and we're gonna pass this legislation tomorrow. So I'm pleased about that. But what we're seeing across the country is reprehensible, Mark.
It really is. I have to say, yesterday I was somewhat encouraged, just because over the weekend, you know, Wash U dealt with some of this nonsense, and I think they handled it, at least for now, pretty well. I saw Vanderbilt a couple of weeks ago do the right thing. Columbia, I think they made their threats, and I don't know, you know, what's going on there this afternoon specifically, but the inmates have run the asylum. And, you know, fact, I was talking about, and UCLA in particular, simply because, and this is true for a lot of graduations. You know, you got kids that are graduating right now, these young people who didn't have a high school graduation because of COVID. And now they're not going to have a college graduation because of this crap.
Correct. And they can't even take their final exams. And I'm here to tell you that I'm proud of Chancellor Andrew Martin. I think he did a great job. I mean, they had 100 arrests. Only 23, Mark, were Wash U students. Four were employees.
Figures.
Okay. And I got to tell you what, they actually have some criminal charges, not just for trespassing and resisting arrest, but assaults. They had several police officers that received significant injuries. But the point is, only 23 of them were Wash U students. You know, you had Green Party President Jill Stein
right.
from Massachusetts. And
Megan Green was in the mix, too. And she's, you know, bragging on Camo X. She's an adjunct. Well, she's been, I think she's been placed on leave right now, appropriately
well,
so.
As she should, and the students should be expelled. I can't feel more strongly about this, and I believe the American people are fed up with it too. If they're American students, guess what? They should be arrested. They should be expelled. If they are if they're foreign students, pull their visas, deport them. If they are professors, they should be fired, lose their tenure, and put let go. I mean, we cannot allow a repeat of the seeds of anti-Semitism to spread and take root. We just can't. Now, I am all for free speech, okay? And the universities are too. If you're going to have a peaceful protest,
well, it's well beyond that. We see it every day. Look, I mentioned UCLA. You got a Jewish student that was just simply trying to get to classes yesterday, and he's blocked by, you know, they all wear masks too because they don't want to be identified. I guess they're either that or worried about COVID. But you know, you have kids that are paying tuition. I can't imagine what it would be like to have a student or to be a student on one of these campuses if you just wanted to do your job, if you just wanted to graduate or go to classes or, you know, take finals, all of that stuff. Not talk about genocide and try to get. I'm convinced, Dan, too, that a good portion of these people that maybe are students, they have no clue what they're protesting. They really don't.
They have no clue what they're protesting. We've encountered them here in the Capitol on a continual basis. If you begin to engage them in a conversation whatsoever, they have no idea what they're protesting. They really don't. But they are definitely endangering our Jewish students and making them feel unwelcome and threatened on these college campuses, and it's untenable. It is absolutely horrific, and the President of the United States needs to condemn it in the strongest terms. I mean, these encampments are in clear violation of university policy, and they are unlawful. They absolutely are.
Yeah, it's not that hard. You know? It's stunning. And he can't say anything. He wasn't able to say anything about Iran a couple of weeks ago either. And that's just ridiculous. Congresswoman Ann Wagner is back with us on this Tuesday afternoon. All right. So you just got back from Italy, and that was an official trip. Explain what was going on there.
It was. We were in Rome. And I have to tell you, we met with both the bilateral Italian officials and also with the Vatican. And I really came down pretty hard with the officials from the Vatican, because I believe that Pope Francis should be speaking out more in condemning this anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism. And I'm pleased to say that he has doubled down. He put out a letter back in February, but now it is being released more widely, and he is condemning all forms of anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism and labeling them as, in his, of course, papal words, as a sin against God, and is very concerned about the attacks against Jews around the world. So I felt really good that we needed to press this as we see it happening across our own country and, frankly, across the world. And they're putting out strong statements rejecting every form of this kind of anti-Semitism. And he had a really good line. He said he had hoped that never again would be a refrain heard by the new generations, yet now we see that the path ahead requires ever closer collaboration to eradicate this phenomenon, this seed of anti-Semitic hate speech and violence that is being spread out. So we were pressing him, and I did in particular, to speak out about anti-Semitism, but also met with the Italian official to talk about their illegal migration.
Yeah.
What has happened in Italy and in Greece is this illegal migration from West Africa that is coming in. And I'm telling you what, they are doing a bang-up job, especially in Italy. Prime Minister Meloni has kind of taken a chapter or a page out of the President Trump's a book, and is heading, you know, really hitting this head on. She's put together all sorts of the kind of remain in Mexico, but it's a remain in Africa program. She's got programs with Tunisia, much like the cooperative agreements we had with the Central American countries. She's invested, listen to this, $6 billion in African LNG development and other manufacturing to encourage migrants to stay in their home countries instead of coming
over. Yeah, that's an interesting approach. Clearly, she is bigoted and xenophobic, just like anybody here that is interested in stopping, you know, illegal migration. It just gets ridiculous. All right, one more topic here. This is a big one. I've saved the best for last, Dan, and you know we're friends and we get along. You got to explain the Ukraine funding vote, because I'm in the camp right now, and look, I understand, you know, Senator Hawley goes out there and says we get nothing in Missouri. That's not true. As you know, you yep. have Boeing, and there is, it's not like cash is being sent to Ukraine. There are weapon systems that are built, and, you know, St. Louis and this region gets benefit. I understand that. A couple of questions, though. I don't understand why this always has to be grouped together, Ukraine and Israel, and all the other things gets conflated. So that gets frustrating, I think, to the electorate. But on Ukraine, my personal concern, and I guess I'm becoming an isolationist, I don't see the path to victory. So that's really kind of my concern. Can you address those issues?
And you and I have spoken about this, and I want to be really clear, especially with the listeners, that the House has passed tough immigration legislation over and over and over again, and we did right before we took this vote. And Chuck Schumer in the Democrat-controlled Senate will not take it up. So I believe we should be securing our southern border, but I also believe that we are under attack from Russia, China, Iran, the new axis of evil. And if Putin is not stopped, Mark, in his tracks in Ukraine, and if Iran and its terrorist puppets continue to attack Israel and the U.S. with impunity, Americans are going to pay the price, and Russia will attack a NATO ally. We're going to have, trigger Article 5. Iran will start a wider war in the Middle East, and China is going to be emboldened to attack Taiwan. So I want to protect young American men and women from being forced to risk their lives in a dangerous global war. And I believe I voted for life-saving investments in U.S. military strength. Remember, a whole lot of this to replenish our own U.S. weaponry and military readiness. And I have only voted for consistently in one of the very first packages 2 years ago for lethal aid to our partners on the front lines. I voted for the amendments to strip non-lethal State Department funding, pensions, salaries for Ukrainian officials, humanitarian. You know, my feeling was that Europe should be, our European partners should be pitching in more for those kind of economic and humanitarian aids. But I do believe that, as I said, the majority of the money is going to go to replenish our own U.S. weaponry and military readiness. And I just believe that this axis of evil, we've got to show strength. We've got to give Ukraine the strong, put them in the strongest position they possibly can be in, and to push back on Russia.
Well, that points out that a lot of this is nuanced, and I can appreciate that, because I don't like the, you know, this is black and white. There are details of this that get rather complicated, and members who are not in Congress would have very difficult time, let alone the members in Congress. But, you know, I think there is, I'm not calling for Mike Johnson to be ousted, don't get me wrong, but I do think that there was a little inexperience that was shown in negotiation on this deal. Now, you say that there are other immigration bills, but the appearance is still, and maybe the base feels this way, that he didn't get anything in return for this.
Well, here's the deal. You're not, you know, elections have consequences. We have attached H.R. 2, as everyone knows about, and our latest immigration and border security programs and bills. We have passed them through the United States House of Representatives, and the Democrats won't take them up, and the administration isn't going to change course or policy. Hell, we went ahead and impeached Mayorkas. And the Senate dispensed with it, Mark, in under an hour.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You got to change. We need a new president. President Trump needs to come in, exercise the kind of authority that he did before to secure our border. We should be able to do that. We can, but America must take leadership when it comes to this new axis of evil. And I, while I'm not going to prop up their firefighter pensions and their government officials and a bunch of the humanitarian.
You provide military strike. Yeah, no, and I understand that.
I vote for lethal aid and military weaponry and replenishing our own military readiness.
I'm still just worried. I'm still worried that this is chasing after something in a situation that can't be remedied or rectified. But look, we'll have to, you know, kind of see where that takes us. By the way, I wish I had more time, because we didn't even touch the Title IX stuff, and that is so offensive to me and so many people. And by the way, Democrats, sane Democrats, don't like that, and I'm sure you know that, Ann Wagner. But great to have you back on. Welcome back to the States, and we will talk soon.
Take care. Bye now.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of moments on 97.1 FM Talk. Tulsi Gabbard is going to be with us tomorrow night. I remember in 2015 seeing this young, attractive Democrat doing interviews. She was running for the Democratic nomination for president. She's kind of morphed into something a little differently these days. In fact, she's even being mentioned as a possible running mate for a Republican in Donald Trump. So she's got a brand new book out, comes out next week, called For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Tulsi Gabbard will join us tomorrow night at 5:07 right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right. Well, I'm going to try something here, and I will tell you that sometimes I get suspicious about some of the things that go viral, so let me set it up that way. But I will say, as a caveat, I don't really care one way or the other on this one, but I'll set it up this way. Larry Elder put this up on his podcast today. It's a call that went viral. It's a mom that's mad that her trans child is being misgendered, so she calls the teacher. Now, to me, when I see there's a video of this, too, when I see this and I hear the audio, maybe this will pop out to you, that it almost doesn't seem real. So that's why I put the caveat, because sometimes these things slip by us and they're manufactured. Now, what I mean by that is, even if it is somehow scripted, and I don't know if it is or not, but you'll kind of hear what I mean in a second. Even if it's somehow scripted and it's not real, it's still pretty effective. Here's the call.
Ellie Jones, who has recently transitioned.
Oh, yeah, she's the boy, isn't she? Am I correct? I get so confused.
No, Mr. Riley, you're not correct. And this is the whole purpose of my phone call today, which is that this misgendering and misnaming and downright ignorance, to be honest, has to stop.
All right. So again, this is a mom that has a trans student daughter, son. I still get so very confused on this. The teacher seems a little confused, saying, wait a second, what are you talking about here?
Understand.
Oh my God. It's 2024. She's not a boy anymore. She's a girl. And her name is Ellie. When are you going to acknowledge that?
You can't just say these things. I want everybody to start calling me helicopter. You can't do that.
So one of the reasons I think that this might not be real is just because I have a hard time believing that a teacher would say this. I give the teacher props. If there's a teacher out there willing to say things like this, teacher of the year.
Oh, my God. So are you basically saying to me that you refuse to acknowledge she's now transgender, she has transitioned?
Transgender, I mean, come on. The girl's, what, 14, 15?
Yes, exactly. And she's an incredibly brave young girl. And this needs to be acknowledged.
I love the bravery stuff. Biden always talks about the bravery stuff. And the teacher points out here, as I would to this mother too, no, it's not brave. You are abusing your child, because what happens when she decides, and she will in a couple of years, this was all a mistake.
A huge mistake. It's probably
a huge mistake. Are you for real?
He's just a little confused. It's a phase. It's a phase. It'll get over.
It's a girl. She's a girl.
What happens when he wants to go back, but you've already done too much?
Good question.
You know, Catholic school, don't you? You know, we don't really condone this kind of, I don't even know what to call it, lunacy.
Lunacy is right. Okay. The teacher gets that right. It is lunacy.
I'm going to launch an official complaint against you.
Uh-oh.
With the head teacher, with the school, and with the entire educational board, because I can't believe that someone like you is even allowed to teach today's youth.
I've got a lot of paperwork here, you know. I got a lot of stuff I could be getting on with instead of having this ridiculous conversation with a woman who's deluded her son so much that he now thinks he's a girl.
I love that last part. He's deluded herself so much that he now, or deluded her son so much that he now thinks it's a girl. Real or fake, I don't know. But, you know, if it is real, that is teacher of the year. If it's not, there's a good way to handle those types of calls from parents. If you are a teacher, there's your audio cut of the day. We're back tomorrow afternoon. Have a great night. 3 o'clock tomorrow. I'm off to my daughter's strings concert at Stanton Elementary tonight. I'll report back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.